Some may find the following disturbing. Discretion is advised.
Third down and three. 12-10 to go in the ballgame. 13-10 Atlanta. Crowd into a frenzy here at Soldier Field. Play clock to four. Shotgun snap to Matt Ryan. Looking to throw. Ryan dodging trouble. Heaves it down the field. Wide open is Hooper midfield. Being tracked down by Demps at the 35. Breaks the tackle. Hooper down the sideline. 10-5. End zone. Touchdown. Wow. Big, big, big play. 88 yards on third down and three with Ryan in trouble. And Hooper sneaking behind everybody. Cleared for takeoff. Falcons up 19-10.
There was confusion before they ever snapped the ball there, because you saw four or five members of the defense, from the linebackers to the defensive backfield, having conversation while the ball was snapped. When they tried to get into position, there was uncertainty in their minds, and that was obvious when you see where the tight end was and how there was not a body around him.
Well, we had miscommunication on the call. And the particular call we played was not the call we called. But I'm not going to throw people under the bus, but obviously we didn't execute it very well.
How close were you to taking a timeout there, just seeing the disarray right before that?
Well, we didn't really think we were in disarray.
Are you done? Are you done? Are you done? Are you done? Okay. I'm about to shit on this bitch right now. Are you done? You done, right? Are you done? Are you done? Okay. Let's get ready to suck up!
Cheers, Bears fans! This is Bears 100 Proof. I am Aldo Gandia, and with me tonight are Draft Dr. Phil Atoshin and the smartest man in the barroom, Shane Marsaw. I'll get to them in just a minute, but I want to give you some news from Hallis Hall that happened today on Tuesday. The injury situation with the Bears is starting to resemble last year when they finished the season with a third of their roster on injured reserve. On Monday, as you know, we learned that wide receiver Kevin White hit the IR list with a broken scapula. And today, when we're taping, we learned that it's Gerald Freeman, the stud inside linebacker, who has suffered a pectoral injury and also had a concussion on Sunday. He is on IR. The Bears replaced those two players on the active roster with linebacker Jonathan Anderson and receiver, as our man Kieran pronounced it, Tana Gentry. They're both from the practice squad, and they're now on the 40. Shane, I want to begin with you. You weren't able to make it to our Bears Hour Live broadcast last night, so you were spared 7 minutes of hilarity that started that live show as I was screwing up the controls, and poor Phil is like thinking, what the fuck did I get into having all those on the controls of a live show? But Shane, I want to begin with you, and I started the show with clips of John Fox's coaching mishaps misstatements after the game. And I just wanted to get your opinion on the head coaching situation with the Bears. You know, I was exchanging notes with Sleep Expert on Twitter, and she was thinking that we were being a little too rough on Fox and saying, you know, he put us into a position where we could win. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's more of the same old, same old. I mean, at this point, we're in year three here under John Fox. And, you know, if these players are going out and making the same, you know, mistakes over and over again, and we as fans are going to hold them accountable and hold their feet to the fire for, you know, not doing what they're supposed to do, there's no reason that we can't do it with John Fox. And I heard you guys talk about it. It really started right on the very first defensive series, unfortunately. I mean, anybody with a brain could see on that third down play that the guy was stopped, you know, a yard and a half to 2 yards short. And I'm screaming at the top of my lungs, and my dog is looking at me trying to figure out why I'm screaming so loud, and I'm like, throw the fucking flag. I mean, who can't see that? And it's just, but again, it's you wonder what's going through Coach Fox's head, and his, you know, pea brain is probably saying, oh, maybe it's a little bit early to throw a challenge flag, but it doesn't matter. It's about setting a tone, especially in game one at home with a young ascending defense. Get your guys off the field and, you know, turn it over to your offense to get out there. And it just seems like there's one or two or three of these little quips or little quotes after the game is over. You know, well, why wasn't the most productive player on the field? Why wasn't he on for the, you know, three out of the four final four snaps of the game? Well, we wanted to put Jordan Howard in there, you know, for his pass blocking. Well, we all watched the game, guys. Jordan Howard ran three routes. So, I mean, that doesn't even hold up. It's just, you know, he thinks he can, you know, all three of us in here are pretty good bullshitters. So he's not, you know, he can't really bullshit a bullshitter. And we watch these games and we rewatch them and we watch the tape and we scrutinize everything. So we're going to pick up on stuff like that. And it's really, really hard to see when you have such a small margin for error with this team. And you have a guy like John Fox that's really not helping, really not doing his part to widen that margin a little bit. You know, he should be there, and at this point, with him being in the NFL for so long, he shouldn't be making those mistakes. It's really hard to watch, and it does. It makes you feel bad that the defense has so much pressure on them as is, because of the struggling offense, and just to put even more pressure on them, it drives me crazy.
You know, I was part of a corporate show where former Steelers coach Bill Cowher was the presenter, the keynote speaker, and he was talking about how in head coaching, the coaches take a zero defect mentality. It's just sort of like an air traffic controller. If you can imagine an air traffic controller, he has to have a zero defect mentality. He makes one mistake and all of a sudden, boom, planes are crashing everywhere. Head coaches and the coaching staff have to have that same mentality. We do not make mistakes. So when there's communication errors on the sideline of the Chicago Bears, when they're not calling, they're not challenging plays, those are all defects that they should have within their control. They should have the system in place with that replay guy upstairs is saying, challenge that play, or whatever the situation is. And we just have not seen that zero defect mentality from the Bears coaching staff in the 2+ years that this guy has been there. Now, Phil, you went through your own rant about Fox yesterday, but go ahead. Let's pile on a little bit before we get on to other Bears talk. Go ahead, Phil.
Well, I think Shane and you really hit it out of the park. There's a certain situation where you have to be maniacal. And I mean, on top of everything, the head coach is in charge of everything. Everything goes through you. So if John Fox isn't on the headset, and sometimes he's not, you don't see a headset on the guy. But in critical situations that could force turnovers and drives, and what I mean is end of downs and a punt to give your offense another possession, you have to be maniacal on top of everything. Now, I've already sent my resume into Hallis Hall and said, listen, if you hire me, granted, I'm all half joking and half fucking serious. I will never let a referee get away with anything. Sometimes you really have to wonder, who's that guy that you're talking about, Aldo, up in the booth on top of this situation? You know, it never hurts to have as many trusted eyes possible in the coaching staff that you need. And you need to be in communication with each and every one of them. And I think that is a failure on this team's part. It just doesn't happen on that day. It's happened so many times that I documented on BHL that it is an issue. And fans that think it's okay, that didn't call, like these beat writers, well, it doesn't mean that's why they lost. Well, anytime there's cheating with a goddamn pump of a football, we're going into courtrooms. But when a game can actually be affected by a play that's wrongly officiated, I think the harsher crime is the wrong ball spot and the coach being neglectful to the team and not challenging it. It was so clear. You had fans in the stands DMing me after they listened to BHI. I was in the stadium and I saw it from where I was sitting in the top floor. You know, I was up in the 300 sections. So it's ridiculous. And then, you know, a little bit of truth. We keep seeing baby steps from John Fox. We're never going to see the full thing. How you excuse a first half performance when a three-quarter performance of 41 yards and 13 net yards and people are actually trying to find good in this guy? I mean, honestly, my expectation is much higher. You saw what Jay Cutler went through here, Aldo, but you saw the talent and the delivery of the ball getting there and where it's supposed to be on time. The problem with a quarterback that's scared or nervous or isn't setting up appropriately is that it's going to take a hell of a lot more time because they're not an athlete to decide where they're going to go with the football. And that's what you see on the tape. That's what I see on the tape. I'll stand by that. I don't give two shits who goes on Twitter and tells you differently. Mike Glennon was below average, not good. He was below average. He made a good drive on the final drive, two-minute drill. But guess what, guys? That's what he fucking gets paid for. So don't get this twisted here that the expectation where I'm just trying to run Mike Glennon out of the house. I never liked Mike Glennon. I never liked him not because of his neck and all the jokes that we did throughout this whole offseason, but I just didn't see him being a talent. I know Shane agreed with me. We've been doing this for a long time, Aldo. They put a lot of money in this guy. He's got to perform, especially when you saw the heights with which the rookie has. So, obviously, I'm coming from a place of reason and truth for the tape. The guy was awful. Even on the final drive, guys were bailing him out by diving for the football. Could have been disaster if Tariq Cohen doesn't get on that football. And if Tariq didn't recover it, I guarantee, Shane, just by the Bears' way of going, that replay that they did. It's a fumble. It's a fumble. It was so close, it would have went the other way. That's just the way it seems to happen. So, heads-up play by Tariq Cohen. You remember we lost an NFC North title because a certain linebacker decided that he's not going to pick up the ball.
James Anderson, you there motherfucker. You go.
Exactly. So when that ball hits the ground, get on it. But as far as Coach Fox, go out, put some pressure on Mike Glennon. Say, you know what, it wasn't good enough. So if John Fox is standing at the podium and he says this, listen, Mike did an excellent job getting us in a position to win, but it's got to be better than that. We expect better. We had a perfect opportunity to win that football game, and we need a better performance from our quarterback, and we need a better overall performance from our team. If John Fox said that, how do you feel today?
I feel a hell of a lot better, you know? I think that every football team, every football player has an immune system that starts to wear off once all the bullshit starts piling on. Football players walk into a room respecting their coach, looking up to their coach, and then once they start hearing bullshit after bullshit after bullshit, all of a sudden that immune system starts to wear away and they start to turn on you. They don't play as hard. They don't give a shit about what you're saying. They're not focused as much as they should be. And that's my biggest concern with this team. Last year, the last three games, I saw a team, and a lot of people don't talk about this, but I saw a team that quit on John Fox. And I was wondering why that wasn't a bigger issue. Those guys weren't playing to win. They were playing to finish out the season. So so you're totally right, Phil. This is concerning to me. And I wish that he would name names, and I wish that he would throw a temper tantrum. I wish that he would change things up and change the complexion of his leadership style, because it ain't working for me, and it certainly isn't working in the one-loss record.
And Aldo, really quickly, you know my family's coaches. Mm-hmm. I don't got to go into that. But one thing they've always said and preached to me as a young kid growing up to coach myself, the football team is a reflection of the head coach. And what you just described there for the fan all over the world now listening into this show, which we are proud of, you know, Podcast Magazine's number one Bears podcast right here, Bears 100 Proof. You just described exactly to a T what those players say at their locker room. You know, this guy doesn't give a shit about me. I'm not even getting an opportunity. Here's Mike Glennon throwing three picks or missing touchdown. Here's Josh Bellamy dropping the ball. He's not even getting called out. He's not even pissed off about it. We're going to get him next time. Well, get him next time, all of a sudden, goes on deaf ears. It should be, all right, Mr. Gentry, get in there. Show us what you could do, because clearly this fucking kid can't catch. And that makes a noise in the locker room that, oh, shit, jobs are on the line. This coach isn't playing. I've not seen that. I've seen a wake-up call on the defense where they're flying to the football and making plays. But this offense has been piss poor. Now, there's injuries, 19 injuries, and here we go again, and we could transition into that. But it's got to change from Coach Fox. And if you think that this radio show is going to panhandle to a head coach who's mumbling and hustling and shuffling and shucking and jiving to try to pair together something that's really not transferring onto the football field, you're full of yourself. It's not going to happen.
I got to give a shout out to Wade Anderson at Wade_Anderson50. On Monday, he tweeted this out. Only Bears fans can leave that game and think Glennon played well. We have watched bad quarterback play for way too long. # put in Mitch. And I think he's onto something, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's not always the quarterback's fault. We've talked a lot about how Cutler was dealt a bad hand in many, many respects and so forth. But Wade is right. You know, we're excusing. I got into a big debate with a media personality in town who was saying that I didn't see anything wrong with Glennon that should make the Bears bench him. And it's just you. These guys are accustomed to mediocre or terrible quarterback play. Shane, I want to bring you in here, and I want to talk about these roster moves that were done today. First of all, I got to ask you, who the hell is Mario Alford? And who were those other guys that the Bears brought in for tryouts?
Yeah, Mario Alford is short and he's fast. So that's really all I know.
So he's really just a practice squad player who's going to take Tanner Gentry's place. How excited are you that Tanner Gentry is now going to be on the active roster?
Well, yeah, I'm excited because you could see, I mean, he was the one guy, you know, other than Cameron Meredith, who was just, you know, kind of Mr. Consistent throughout training camp. He was the one guy that you could kind of hitch your wagon to and get excited about. I was kind of expecting maybe Gentry to hang around the practice squad, and I thought maybe grand scheme was to bring him up when they finally made the move to Trubisky, but we all saw what happened versus Atlanta with Kevin White going down, and obviously Cam Meredith is gone, so he gets his debut this weekend versus Tampa. But no, it's anybody that watches the Chicago Bears game knows that the Chicago Bears overall as a team lack speed. I mean, they lack speed on offense, on defense, and on special teams. It's at all levels. I think that's why everybody's, you know, jerking off at the thought of Tariq Cohen doing what he's doing. I mean, not saying that he's not a special talent, because he is, but it's really hard to watch as rabid of a football fan as I am when I'm not watching the Bears, I'm watching other football games, and you turn it over and it's so noticeable when you're watching other teams just, you know, making these huge dynamic game-breaking plays on offense and on defense as a result of their team speed. And I said, that's Tariq Cohen is our guy on offense now to you know, kind of grab a hold of, and that's where we want to be and take that next step. But to get back to Taylor Gentry, he's going to bring, he's not a 4-3 guy, but you know, it's not all about that time speed. We saw that, you know, with Kevin White, time the 4-3-5, even watching him on tape, he was never a 4-3-5 guy, but Tanner Gentry's a 4-5 guy in the 40, but he seems to, you know, like we saw when he ran that go route versus Tennessee, he was plenty fast to get the job done, and we all know how short we are at wide receiver at this point, you know, and it's something else that I think we need to talk about too is Marcus Wheaton.
Offense to the short comment. Thank you.
Oh, that's just a given at this point, Mr. Toshi. But you know, just one thing with Marcus Wheaton, I said, you know, at this point with the way that these injuries are stacking up, you have to make absolutely positive that he's 100% ready to go when he comes back, rather than bringing him back at 65 or 75%. I mean, you just don't want to. To me, I don't want to risk, you know, him coming back and not being completely ready, and then potentially losing him for the rest of the season. But you know, and to get to the other addition of what's this, Jonathan Anderson being activated, that one's a kick in the nuts, because Jarrell Freeman he's the absolute glue. To me, he's the epicenter of this defense. He's the veteran that I think all of these young pups on defense look up to. I think the coaching staff looks up to him. He's the productive veteran that's you know, going out there and giving his all every down. He's a bit of an undersized guy, and he's not backing down to anything. You know, I know Rich Campbell doesn't think he's a good player because he doesn't create turnovers left and right, but you know, who's Mike Glennon? Who the fuck is Rich Campbell? I don't need his football analysis on middle linebackers. If you watch Jarrell Freeman play and you think that he's not one of the best middle linebackers in the NFL, I question your smarts as a football fan. But that one was really tough. But unfortunately, in this game of the NFL, it's got 100% injury rate. And thank God we're not stuck in the Jerry Angelo days. When we have one injury, we have nobody there to back him up. And young Mr. Nick Quitt is getting the call now. And he's going to be paired with Danny Trevathan. And as much as I hate to see Jarrell Freeman be sat down for what looks like it's going to be the season, especially if it is that torn pec, I know they said that he's on the IR to return, but I am equally excited to see Nick Kwiatkowski get his legit shot in this young budding defense.
Hello, Jerry on Twitter says, he asked a question, is Tanner Gentry the hero Chicago needs or the hero Chicago deserves? I just hope that he's a hero. I don't give a shit whether it's a need or a deserve. I do want to ask Phil this question. You know, most college receivers that come out don't know the route tree very well. I would say maybe 99% of them don't, because, you know, they play in a college program that just doesn't utilize the complete route tree. And Tanner Gentry is one of those receivers who primarily made his bread and butter in college by running go routes and, you know, just going deep. How quickly can a guy, you know, learn the route tree to help out the Chicago Bears in their rookie season? Or maybe it's not vital that they learn the entire route tree, but specialize on two or three route patterns that can be effective in moving the chains or being big plays of 20 plus yards. What are your thoughts on that, Phil?
Well, I actually disagree. You know, in studying Tanner Gentry, me and Lauren Cox did some film room breakdown on him on BHL film room, Aldo. And I had been watching the kid because I'm a big Josh Allen apologist, and I really liked that quarterback. If he had come out, and obviously Shane dubbing this year the year of the quarterback right here on Bears Barroom Radio Network, obviously there's a lot of homework going into the quarterback position, and this young receiver just kept popping up for me. Who the hell is this kid? Because I felt like he had the craft, as I call it. And going into Hofstra, we ran the run and shoot, so you needed to understand every position and four or five receiver sets. So you always had to understand on which side of the football, which route you were going to run, how you were going to run it versus what coverage. And that's what we talk about with the route tree. Is his mental capacity, is he at that point where he understands that this is a zone coverage and the linebacker is going to drop to the curl? And if so, and you see it's a zone coverage, then you're going to have to whip yourself around the curl and find that open hole in the defense in between them. That's the kind of stuff you have to see what he can do. And what I saw in the preseason and from the people that went out to practices and saw, and I have no trust whatsoever in the wide receiver coach or the offensive coordinator when it comes to assessing the appropriate personnel, because Kevin White, for example, had never been able to run the route tree and press someone. You take a look at the last time, Shane, that you could think of in your head, and I'm going to stay on Tanner Gentry, that a Bears receiver caught a pass over the shoulder, untouched, going into the end zone because they beat their defensive back. Can you think of the last time you saw that? And excluding Zach Miller's long run, because that doesn't count. I'm trying to think of the last time we've seen that. Was it Aroma Shadu against the Vikings to win that game?
Oh, Jesus, yeah, that was... I mean, I'm sure there's been a few since then that we're just not remembering off the top of our head, but I know I get exactly what you're. I get exactly.
If you
what
follow
you're
what I'm saying here, Al.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. We're getting away. No more horizontal offense where you gotta. Exactly. Yeah, you gotta post the guy up and then spin and run towards your end zone. Yeah, no,
exactly.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
You're running
about.
Shallow crosses. You're running a deep curl. You're running a deep in. There's nothing threatening. And when you have these big tight ends that you have, you could run them down the middle and open up this offense. But I think they were so concerned about making Mike Glennon not look bad that they handicapped themselves in that football game. And if you don't have players like a Cameron Meredith that is going to be able to run a fade and really adjust to the ball. There was a great showcase of this. I guess it was with Connor Shaw in the Cleveland game. Deontay Thompson beats the corner. Connor Shaw puts the ball exactly where it needs to be put, and Thompson can't turn his head and adjust around like any big-time receiver can do. That's the problem, and I think Tanner Gentry can do that, Aldo. He can do the acrobatic catch, the turn the body and control on a back shoulder. The thing that I was so upset about, me and Shane were going back and forth, is that this general manager decided to move on from Alshon Jeffrey, someone who was able to get down the field and high point the football versus a coverage or a defender on his body. Then Cameron Meredith gets hurt. So now you're playing with, you know, fire here, because Glass Joe, Kevin White, has never been healthy, and he can't run routes, yet you're selling him to a fan base and to this team, knowing that his teammates know that Kevin is just not a top five receiver on your team. That's the issue I have with Ryan Pace and company. Whether it's Ryan Pace or it's John Fox, we can debate this all the time. At the end of the day, we'll put it on Dowellog is a John Fox, sending that kind of message, leaving Tanner Gentry, who, by the way, to me, was the best-looking receiver next to Cameron Meredith in Chicago in the preseason. You know, look at this play where you see him running a boot. We put it up at Bears Barroom with Trubisky, and he's running the boot, and he's got coverage behind him, and the ball's flying in there, gliding in there. He's focused in. Even if he's going to get hit, he's catching it. We don't have those players here. You saw what transpired. So hopefully they give this guy the opportunity. I believe he has the craft. Is he polished? No. They all need work, but Aldo on this team. I believe he's better than Bellamy, Thompson. I think you're going to be good with the two of them if they give him the opportunity with Wright and him being your top two receiver and what they do with Trey McBride. Because Trey McBride is probably the best athlete on this team, possibly, next to Cohen. Him and Cohen, probably two of the best athletes. McBride has so much athleticism. He just needs to mentally get himself in this game, and all of a sudden you could turn into something. Shane, do you remember that year? The year the Bears ended up going, and Aldo, you remember too, with Steve Walsh to the playoffs, beating Minnesota in the Superdome there, whatever, Metrodome.
1994, I believe.
That year, the Bears had a catastrophe of injuries to the wide receiver position. They picked up Nathan Lewis and Greg McMurtry, Shane. I was thinking about this day, and they went into the season with a bunch of known names, and you know what they did? They ran the football and threw the deep ball. They put it together because they believed in each other, and they started the right players that were going to give them the chance to win. Nate Lewis got signed on a Tuesday and was playing in this game on Sunday. That was a great job of coach. I think it was Dave Wanstead giving him credit here. But they pulled it together despite all the injuries. And that's what this team is going to have to do. Make a competition, Aldo. Make this training camp part two, because you can't practice much. Get the best receivers out there. If it's Wheaton, it's Wheaton. Let them run those nine routes. Get the slot position going. You saw him use Tariq Cohen. Everything I said about Cohen, by the way, on this show, did it not transpire first day, first game, Aldo?
Very good. And on that same topic about Tanner Gentry, Jeff Glau on Twitter asked the question, why do people say Tanner Gentry is too slow when he was timed under 4.5 at his pro day and looks fast? And then Marlon Harris chimed in. It's his in and out routes. He's slow at his three quarter cone drills. And I think that
kill Whitey.
But I do think that, you know, there's some legitimacy to that because I've read a couple of scouting reports about Gentry. And for instance, Pro Football Focus said that the biggest concern with him is that he was sometimes slow off the line of scrimmage and even took a false step before releasing to start his route. That was one of three or four concerns they had with him. So I you know, it's just like Phil said as he concluded his remarks there. There's footwork that needs to be learned by all of these young receivers. I remember when I was in my early 20s, I bought a book that Raymond Berry wrote about wide receiver routes. And he talked about measuring every single step off the line of scrimmage. This was like a dance book with dance steps for each pattern that was written. The famous wide receiver Raymond Berry wrote this book, and it was a gospel for anybody that wanted to learn how to play wide receiver. And that stuff isn't coached at college at most programs. And so Gentry has to go through that. But clearly, physically, he's got the skills, and hopefully he can translate those skills to production right away.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time in our show where the smartest man in the room talks about the smartest and stupidest tweets of the week.
There he is. Thank you for that beautiful intro, Mr. Atoshin. I love that.
Well, I love you, Shane. And what do you got for us this week, Shane? Because you are the smartest man in the room. I've crowned you. Any room you go in, I mean, Buffalo Wild Wings, all of a sudden, people are sending beers over to you. You're helping fantasy teams.
Yeah,
look at you. Now we need you to take the Twitter sphere and give us your stupid tweets.
A former Bear, Richard Strong, came up to me and my wife. So it was fantastic.
Wait, I gotta tell people what that's about. My wife is in Hawaii on a job, and she says, "Yeah, I met a guy that we hired to do security. He says he's a former Chicago Bear. His name is Richard Strong." And I'm like, wait a minute, this motherfucker is trying to hit on my wife, Dick Strong. And Shane sends me the football database. There's never been a Richard Strong, a Dick Strong that's ever played for the Chicago Bears. So I tweeted my wife. I told her, you know what to do. Kick him in the balls and get the fuck out of there.
That's right.
Oh my God. Anyway, where were we?
You told her there's a limp dick waiting for her back in Chicago. That's right.
Richard Unstrong is waiting for me.
Yeah, so you guys know how I'm always scouring Twitter and the interwebs to find out Chicago Bears news and to catch up on some tweets about our favorite team, and the more you do that, you see some good tweets and you see some absolutely ridiculous tweets. And so we wanted to come up with this new segment where the smartest man in the Bear room talks about the dumbest tweets, and then at the end we'll crown one that's a good tweet for the week. But we're gonna start off with @SeanKing.
I'm dumb as fuck.
First dumb tweet of the day. @SeanKing, back in the spring with this whole Colin Kaepernick mess, said that he was trying to recruit people to stay away from the NFL and refuse to watch the games. Well, he chimed in on September 11th at 2:45 p.m. Saying that the Chicago Bears need Colin Kaepernick. He said that the Bears need Kaepernick.
Wait a minute. Hold, first of all, you're not going to speed past that like you didn't just say what you just said.
Obviously, he held true to his no NFL, because if you have a brain, you know that the Bears do not need Colin Kaepernick on their team. You know, this is all about Mitchell Trubisky. So knowing Sean King, the reason that he found out that Mitch Trubisky is white, so maybe that's why he's so upset.
Is this the same guy that's trying to put people to gather up and ban against watching the NFL this season?
Absolutely, yes, the one and only.
Can we get another drop there for that?
I'm dumb as fuck.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Yeah.
He's got his own theme music, Sean King does.
I'm dumb as fuck. I'm sorry. I'm dumb as fuck. I'm sorry.
Except the only thing is, I don't really think he's sorry, but... hopefully he knows he's as dumb as fuck, because that is a pretty fucking dumb tweet.
Yeah, so number two for this week is a guy, I'm not sure if anybody knows. This is @NFL Draft Scout, Matt Miller. Have you guys ever heard of him?
I'm dumb as fuck.
I believe he works for Bleacher Report. And the day before we got our season kicked off, Mr. Adam Schefter chimed in that the Bears signed defensive end Akeem Hicks to a 4-year, $48 million extension that includes $30 million guaranteed per a source. So Mr. Matt Miller, @NFL Draft Scout of Bleacher Report, chimed in with a quote tweet. Why?
Are you serious?
the only man on planet Earth that is questioning signing Akeem Hicks to a contract extension. I see he took a lot of grief on Twitter when people were calling him out and saying, how the hell can you question the Bears, you know, extending Akeem Hicks? And then he ended up chiming back in and said that he didn't mean to send that out as a quote tweet, that he was replying to somebody in a direct message. So he's got to be the dumbest motherfucker of the week, because he can't send out good tweets, and he doesn't know how to quote tweet or send DMs. So Matt Miller, here's your trophy.
I'm dumb as fuck.
Now, wait a minute. You're leaving out a really good part to the story, Shane, because didn't he respond back to you on something?
Yeah, he wrote another tweet saying that it was just a general football tweet, and I quote tweeted him back, and I said, "Now, is this a direct message or is this an actual tweet?" And he responded to me by flipping me the bird, so I got exactly what I wanted out of that. But
and then he took it down, right?
Yeah, but why? Yeah, exactly.
But why?
But why? Yeah, why?
Why?
Why would you send Akeem Hicks? Why?
I called him out too. Sorry, this guy has shown so many examples of fraudulent Twitter etiquette. He deserves everything coming to him. But I give him respect for pulling his block card.
Yes.
There you go.
Exactly. He wants everybody to read his bullshit. You know, he wants to be an equal opportunity guy. So my being the smartest man in the bar room, I do have to, even though I read
we play that music again?
Sure we can.
Smart. let me introduce this. Ladies and gentlemen, you know him as the smartest man in the bar room. Shane Marsaw is going to give you his funniest and best tweet of the week.
Absolutely, and we'll dive right into this, because the best part about this tweet is it actually ties into one of the dumbest tweets of the week, and the big trophy this week is going to go out to @TreyBizzy, also known as
Big Al.
Yes, Barry McCockiner, which there might be some of that going. Maybe that actually might be Richard Strong's Twitter feed, also in Hawaii.
Might be some of that going on in Hawaii, huh?
But @TreyBizzy,
he's a big Bears barroom backer too. Give him a shout out.
Absolutely, Trey. I saw this tweet and I took a screenshot of it to save it so I could bring it up on the show tonight. And @TreyBizzy, after Akeem Hicks got his first sack the other night, the first person he thought of was NFL draft scout. You know, wondering why would you extend a guy like Akeem Hicks? So Trey tweeted to NFL draft scout, "That's why you pay Akeem Hicks the money, you fucking cunt." @NFL draft scout. So.
Go! Well done.
Absolutely. Trey, we bow to thee. You are the inaugural winner of the smartest man in the bar room, best tweet of the week.
That is great. Excellent.
Bears
stuff.
100 proof tweet of the week. Look for this to be coming up every week, folks. Shane is going to be scouting the Twitter sphere. No one is safe. So, fan of the show, me and Aldo. So watch what you're putting out there, because the smartest man in the room, cue the music.
Oh, wait a minute.
Where's my producer? Because the smartest man in the room is always looking for you.
We'll work on that, people.
That was awesome.
All right, I want to ask the draft doctor something. Phil, you know something about being vertically challenged. We have to talk about Tariq Cohen and the amazing job that he did. But even more impressive to me, because it was such a concern going into the season, even more impressive was how he reacted after those really tough hits that he took. And he said after the game,
you know, when it comes to taking hits, we play the game of football, it's hit or be hit. So my position, I play offense, so I'm used to taking hits. You know, I feel like I'm durable enough back to be able to take those kind of hits. And I really feel like my defense has already prepared me.
My goodness, this young man, not only is he phenomenal running the ball, but he appears to be durable and as tough as anybody in the NFL. Your thoughts on Tariq Cohen?
Oh, Aldo, I mean, we went on this show right after the draft. This isn't new to me. I have this pride in me when I played. This kid's heart is worn on his sleeve. He looks like Mighty Mouse out there just popping up off these hits. You're 100% right. I mean, he took a shot on one of these screens where the safety came up and just absolutely plastered him. It's actually like they ran a middle screen type of play, and he just got buried. But the kid is an absolute chiseled athlete with agility that you haven't seen. I mean, the flipping and catching the two footballs and what have you saw, but this kid is a natural instinctive runner that's going to put people on islands if they use him appropriately. I really think, as we talked about last night, that you really got to have more Jordan Howard and use this kid in a variety of different ways in the slot. He's going to be a mismatch against a linebacker, so you got to use your wide receiver sets to force that fifth player to go cover him. And if that's what I would be doing, is looking for the mismatches, giving Mike Glennon an easy read, especially against Tampa, that this kid is going to be able to isolate on somebody that's a mismatch, and you get him the football and you move the chains. And really, ultimately, you could do it in a variety of ways. I mean, you saw him. He's punt returning, kick returning, probably be his next job for this team. He's playing quarterback at the Wildcat. He played slot. He played tailback. I mean, he did really everything you asked him to do, and he even went deep. He was the one guy, as Shane said, that got deep over the top. Glennon put it there. The defensive back actually made a great play, or he would have caught that for a touchdown.
If Glennon throws that ball a split second earlier,
it's a touchdown. The
defensive back does not make a play on that ball. Yeah, he had a beat.
That was the story of the game, Shane. It really was. As many of these people, and I know we keep going back to it, but it is the most important position in all of sports. It's the most important topic, really, for this team, because ultimately the questions are going to be, well, you don't know, he's young, all that stuff you were talking about, Aldo, getting shit from fans. Well, I do know. Shane does know. And when it does happen, and all these people say, oh, I told you so, why'd they wait so long? We didn't want that to happen. That's all I want to make clear. The truth is the foundation of Bears 100 proof. This kid, Cohen, we talked about. There was a lot of critics talking about him after the draft and all the small school stuff. But if you listen to this radio show, you would have heard three guys talking and praising the draft picks and the need and the necessity of getting offensive power, firepower. Everyone wanted to go defense. Remember, Aldo? Second round, why are we picking a tight end? Why are we taking this? They got a starter in the safety in the fourth round, and they got a starting caliber dynamic playmaker in Cohen, and you got your quarterback of the future there. I don't know why they're waiting on this. I don't know why it all has gone like this. I can't figure out this staff. As you all know, I think me, Aldo, and Shane are on, it's time for a change at the coaching staff based on what's transpired. You've won 9 games out of 24. I mean, that speaks for itself. If they lose again this year, this staff is gone. I'm 100% sure of that. But that's for another show. This show, Cohen, to me, as I compared him to Dave Meggett, this kid is even more explosive than Meggett. Again, punt returns, doing everything possible for this football team. There is no doubt in my mind. I know Shane tweeted out Tariq Cohen, Rookie of the Week. I'm right there with you. I don't think people realize that clearly Dowell Loggins' game plan was, we're going to attack Atlanta with Tariq Cohen, and we're going to move him all over the field and help our quarterback out by getting him the football and having him make a dynamic play. And he was able to do that as a rookie. And he was this close again to taking 2 plays to the house. And let me just say this one last point. He might be small, but you saw what he did to that defender. He caught the football. He put him on an island because the defender couldn't gather himself. He didn't know which way he was going to juke. And then he did a Walter Payton and just tucked his shoulder into him and ran him over into the end zone. That, to me, says a hell of a lot about that young man. And we should be happy and thanking Ryan Pace for landing this football player, because when you find competitors with heart like that and heart of a champion, they ended up changing the whole tide of the team and become leaders and winners. And we lack a lot of that on the offensive side of the football.
We need that dog. He's one
of them. Sir. Yes, sir.
Shane, John Matuska on Twitter asked, what's wrong with Kyle Long? And to me, this is a huge concern. This injury clearly is hampering his play. He's not anywhere near 100%. This could take weeks. What do you think?
Well, you know, it sounds like when he actually got hurt against Tampa last year, and I mean, it really seems like he had a real tough go with the painkillers that he was on, and you know, he lost a bunch of weight and he was violently ill. And, you know, we're not talking about, Phil Atoshin spraining his ankle and, you know, your guy, 5'2", 127 pounds like Phil. We're talking about, actually, I'm sorry, probably made you a little taller, 5'1", 124. But anyways, no, you're talking about a large, mobile human being. You know, somebody that's, was good enough to be drafted in two separate sports, strangely enough, both teams in Chicago, the White Sox and the Chicago Bears drafted Kyle Long. But, you have these athletic freaks and all of these guys, they all handle these injuries different. And if you saw any picture of Kyle Long's leg and foot, what it looked like, I mean, for you to mess your ankle up that bad, to have surgery, it's obviously a major, major injury. But, just to get back to what you were saying, Aldo, Kyle Long 5 hours ago sent out a tweet. And
there he is, the smartest man in the room. I knew
yes,
he was gonna...
absolutely. He sent out a tweet, and it was just a GIF or GIF or, I'm not smart enough to ever figure out what we're supposed to say there, GIF or GIF, but it said rise. And, it just says rise. So is he rising from the ashes? Is he making his appearance back in Tampa, the scene of the crime from last year? So that's, in a day where we got some bad news from, Kevin White going on IR and Jarrell Freeman also going on IR, maybe a little bit of a silver lining is maybe Kyle Long is ready to go, and they gave him that extra week last week to get ready, and then maybe he is ready to go. So that will be hopefully a real good boost to the offense down in Tampa Bay. But it's tough, and the big elephant in the room with Kyle is he still hasn't done anything with that shoulder. So, he wanted to concentrate. It just shows you how serious that ankle injury was, that he didn't even want to go ahead and do the shoulder surgery because he wanted to give 110% effort to the rehab on his ankle. So, I mean, I think this ankle injury was a lot more serious than they let on. And, that's typical Chicago Bears fashion. But, it's going to be interesting tomorrow when these guys start to install the game plan for Tampa Bay to see if maybe we have a new starter at left guard in number 75.
I think he's going to be out there, Aldo. I really believe Shane is on to something. I think Shane actually shared that with me or retweeted it, and I saw it. I don't think Kyle Long would say that. I think he's itching at the bit and chomping at the bit to get out there. You saw him in a stance pregame. I saw a couple guys comment that he was out there before the game against the Falcons, running around a little bit. He's chomping at the bit. I think Shane actually made a great point that I'd never even thought of. Here's a kid who suffered from drug addiction in college, and then he has a serious injury. You got to be careful. I've had shoulder surgery on both of my shoulders.
I've had drug addiction problems.
What's that?
I've had drug addiction problems.
So you know.
He's got the drug part down. He just hasn't.
He is an addict. Do you want to have a little? What is it? My name is Aldo Gondia. I am an addict. But you got to be careful when you're putting those guys, as you would know, then Aldo or family members. We all have been earmarked by this disease. You know, family members or friends that have a drug addiction, and they have to be careful with pain medication and the addiction to those opiates because of what it does to the mind and the person, and depression, and that domino starts to fall. His father goes on a national radio podcast or whatever it was with Rich Eisen and calls out his son in a manner with which he knows his son is very much heavy into the social media. You've seen it lighter, 100%. What would we say, 70, 80% lighter from Kyle Long in regards to his social media presence? So I think Shane's really onto something here with that hurdle and that depression and being away from the team, not being able to participate, being left out. You start to question yourself. Then you're at the cusp of it, and you really want to get out there and prove yourself and show it, and you fall back and get injured again, then you're back in that state. So I think the smartest man in the room is onto something, and I didn't even put this all together until just on this show, and that's how we roll on this show, Aldo. That's what makes Bears 100 Proof so special, is the camaraderie and the continuity and cohesiveness of this offensive unit here. So I think Kyle Long is going to play this weekend, but I really think this is important that he gets out there and gets this game under his belt and gets back with the boys for his own personal sake and belief, because there's no questioning the guy's talent whatsoever. So to get him on the football field is going to be helpful. I'm glad they listened to the Bears podcast, the first Bears 100 Proof, and got Hieronymus Grasso out of the starting role. I was praying all that you guys knew. I was DMing you very nervous and concerned that that guy was going to start and they were going to move White here. Then, they ultimately screwed up no matter which way to go, because they ended up doing the right thing. But as I said, they kind of held Cody White here and the offensive back. They should have just did this from the get-go and let Grasso earn a position to move. He's really handling those second and third. Let's see what he could do. But they didn't do that. And that's unfortunate for the first game. But I think Whitehair will come out and play well against Tampa.
Shane, Tom O'Malley asked the question, was Alshon really not wanting to play here a real thing, or were the Bears just not comfortable with his availability or lack thereof? And let me just say that I think the biggest reason Alshon didn't want to come back to Chicago was because of the quarterback situation. Remember, he signed that contract with the Eagles prior to the Bears drafting Mitch Trubisky, and I also think that Ryan Pace wasn't offering as much as the Eagles. I think that's the simple reason. What do you think, Shane?
The way that Tom phrased it, I think, in the two parts there, I think the answer to both questions is yes. I think Alshon wanted out, and I also think that the Bears were very skeptical of him and his commitment to playing through these soft tissue injuries. And you don't have to look any further than to Alshon missed 75% of camp with Philadelphia with a shoulder. He got hit in the shoulder and he was out for a real long time with Philadelphia. I realize, Alshon is a talent, and if I was running the Chicago Bears, I would have made him a priority, just because we know how fragile the Chicago Bears have been. But I can't let a uber talent like that walk away. But at the same time, we're not privy to what goes on behind the scenes. You know, there was a report out there that the Bears offered Alshon around $13 million a year. He ended up signing a one-year contract with Philadelphia for $14 million, but I believe only $9 million of that is guaranteed. So, I like I said, it's kind of a cheap way to get out of really answering the question by saying yes to both parts of it. But I just think there's so many different factors to this. And I think when it comes right down to it, it was almost like the writing was on the wall with Alshon as soon as everything fell apart with Brandon Marshall. You know, Brandon Marshall was here. He was the number one wide receiver. Alshon doesn't like to deal with the media. He doesn't like the glitz and glamour of the big city. He's, you know, he's a Southern boy and kind of quiet, doesn't like to deal with the media. And he, you know, loves the warm weather. And I know he's not getting that in Philadelphia, but there's something to say about the guy too, when you say that you're going to bet on yourself and you believe in yourself and you're going to go out there and ball out. Well, this is the third consecutive one-year contract. This is the third consecutive year that Alshon has bet on himself. And let's not forget that this wasn't a two-man team going after Alshon. This was all 32 teams in the NFL had an equal shot to sign Alshon Jeffrey. All 32 of them. And he came away with a one-year contract. And does that speak more to maybe a lot of the NFL not believing that Alshon has that 110% commitment that, you know, would garner a long-term contract? I think, yes, I think there is something to that. And like I said, it's just, it's an unfortunate set of circumstances because the worst possible scenario, like in most cases, played out for the Bears. They let a young talent walk away for no return. They had an ascending wide receiver in Cam Meredith to essentially take his spot. He tore his ACL. Kevin White was supposed to be, you know, the Batman to Cam Meredith's Robin or vice versa, and here he is out for the third consecutive year on IR. So it was this perfect storm of shit for Chicago at the wide receiver position, and it's really, really unfortunate, but just one of those things. We'll have to see how it plays out. It's I coined last offseason the year of the quarterback. I think this is going to be a very intensive year of the wide receiver in Chicago once we hit the offseason this year.
Let's get on to our segment that we are calling Bear Up and Bear Down. That's where each of our guys here picks a player that he thinks is on the rise, who has played well, and another player who is not doing as well, our bear down player. So let me begin with Philatotion here as I sneak in this Snoop Dogg bass instrumental.
Yeah.
To set the mood. Phil, who are you liking? Who's your bear up?
Well, I'm gonna flow, gonna throw down my Snoop Dogg around Chi-Town.
Well done.
Even though I can't hear the beat because when I talk,
so you hit it perfectly.
Listen, I'm going to do an offensive guy and a defensive guy, and we haven't exchanged these, so I hope I'm not stealing from Shane. But I'm going to start on the defensive side of the football. I'm going to steal Shane's guy, but I could go two ways here, but I really want to shout out Akeem Hicks. The guy got paid. This is my bear up. Do we have the sound effect?
Yep, here it is.
This is my bears up. That will be Akeem Hicks. The guy got Snoop Dogg money this week, and he came out there and performed up to par, putting pressure on the quarterback, Aldo, bringing it every play. One play is out against the run. He's spinning on a third down, getting after the running game, stuffing the play in the backfield. Hakeem Hicks was my bear up this week. Why? NFL draft scout? Because he's a goddamn fucking football beast.
Yeah, I'm digging this. I feel like a DJ. All right. Shane, you want to give us your bear up before we get Phil's bear down?
Absolutely. Mine's a very boring bear up this week. Unfortunately, I'm going to go to the special teams, and I'm going to throw some love to my boy Connor Barth. You really surprised? You can't tell me that when they were lining up for that 54-yard field goal, everybody was like, "Fuck, this ain't happening." I know I was.
I believed in Barth.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was shocked. And how many times, guys, on this podcast alone have we said competition breeds success? And granted, the
Mike Glennon.
Yeah, exactly. Granted, the second round draft pick from Tampa that we claimed didn't really put much competition, but I think it was a shot across the bow of the SS Connor Barth, and they said that he's been perfect. He was perfect in training camp. He's been perfect in the games, and I really think that it was just a little cattle prod shoved up Connor Barth's ass that made him try that much harder, and I got to throw some love to the kicker, guys. That 54-yard field goal was impressive. When you're kicking, I don't give a shit if the weather was nice. When you're kicking a 54-yard field goal in Soldier Field, that's an impressive feat in my book.
Aldo, we keep making T-shirts on this show. That's why I love this show. The Believe in Barth T-shirts are getting printed up as we speak.
I like that idea. Believe in Barth. That could be a moneymaker, at least for a couple of weeks anyway. All right. Now I'm going to borrow some music from Taylor Swift, who I think is shooting down her career with these stupid songs of hers. And so that's why we're using it for Bear Down.
Taylor.
Phil, what do you got for Bear Down?
Well, I could take the easy road and the long neck, but I'm going to give my bear down to the guy that continues to let Bear fans down, and that's Josh Bellamy.
You motherfucker.
You got an opportunity, like I said, Taylor, when the game is on the line. You dream about this as a kid. If this guy is one in a million players that dreamed of getting to the NFL and actually did. So I can't, we always have to like come into a confessional moment and say, you know what, are we being too hard? Whatever. Your opportunity to show the world what you are. You had it in your hands, literally and figuratively. This has happened before, as colleague over there across the pond, Kieran, had said against the Tennessee Titans last year. He drops the ball in the end zone. He does it again. My question to John Fox is, how do you continue to allow this kind of football player to continue to be put in those situations? And really, he was my absolute bear down of the week.
Shane, do you need some time to find a new player?
you don't want me to double up on Mr. Bellamy and piss off all the Bellamy apologists out there?
No, I know. What is that? Could we get a name for them for next show? Maybe we could take these Bellamy apologists.
Bellamy this is their,
it's the Bellamy ass licking society. That sounds like a nice hat, right? no, it, my bear down. It was between three guys. Phil took my number one guy, Mr. Bellamy. But I'm going to go to my number two, Quentin Demps. Just that, jeez. What was that, a third and, what they have, third and 18 or third and 13? What was that on that?
Third and 13.
Yeah, it was about.
Third and 13, a third and 13, I think, on the 12-yard line.
Yeah, and it was, you know you're going to have these busted plays, especially when you have a young, unproven defense. But when you bring over a grizzled veteran that's, what I believe he's 31 or 32 years old, you know, he's supposed to be the enforcer back there. He's the guy that's, you know, really should be pointing everything out. And if, you know, if Eddie Jackson had the blown coverage, that's, you know, as much as we hate to see it, you can kind of deal with it a little bit more than you can with Quentin Demps. You know, at the same time, you want to see these veterans that are brought in for their leadership. You want to see them on the field, not making these enormous mistakes. And then just to make it even worse, like I think Phil brought up on BHL, that it's going to be on every highlight show for the rest of the season with him getting stiff-armed by Austin Hooper, of all people. I turned on Sirius Radio, and I looked down at the little display on my radio, and it said Austin Hooper, and I'm like, fuck this, and I turned it right back off because I knew what they were going to be I knew what they were going to be talking about. I couldn't handle it, but at the same time, I'll throw a little bit of love Mr. Demps' way. You know, he owned up, said that it was, you know, it's on him, and, you know, I do appreciate that to hear a veteran, you know, stick his neck out there, no Mike Glennon pun intended, to you know, take some of the heat when such a, you know, we lost by 6 points, guys. They had an 88-yard touchdown on that play, and we lost all that field position. Like you said, it was third and 13 from the 12-yard line. So, Mr. Quentin Demps, you're the veteran back there, and I hope you do a little bit better versus Tampa Bay this week.
Well, and to be fair, Demps took the blame for that, but after the game, Fox did say that they got the play in, but it wasn't communicated correctly, and Gerald Freeman was out of the game at that point because of his concussion, so whoever took his place probably had some communication issues, and, you know, again, it sounds so similar to that Green Bay Packer play, communication being the number one issue. And it echoes back to what I said at the top of the show, which is these kinds of things should not happen. You have to have this zero defect policy that when there's a substitution, whoever is going in there is going to pick up the pieces in the same manner that your starters did. And that includes everything from communication to tackling to you name it. It was definitely not fun. All right, guys, we're approaching the 90-minute mark, and I want to leave the show with each of you guys making a comment about what our chances are of coming out of Tampa or wherever this game is being played Sunday with a one-on-one record. Phil, let me begin with you. What are your prospects? How high is your optimism that we're going to be able to come out of there with a victory?
Well, you got some good things going for you. You got Tampa, who hasn't played. How do they handle this hurricane and where they're practicing and all the rigmarole and anxiety that goes along with getting out and really playing your opening game and have the letdown? So I think the Bears are at an advantage because they have one under their belt, came away, almost won, and really hopefully they go back and look at themselves and assess what they need to be done. I also think the Bears' run game and run defense is really going to, you know, help them in this game. So I really think there's an opportunity for them to win. However, the caveat is the guy with the neck, he's got to come out there. And I don't care if it's the running backs. Do you hear me repeating? Sorry. Can you hear me?
I hear you fine. I don't hear any.
Okay. I heard me repeat for a second. I'm sorry. And I don't care if it's the running backs or the tight ends. He's got to throw the ball downfield, be accurate, get Tampa Bay out of the box, and really get behind the heels of Jordan Howard. I really think the Bears have an opportunity to beat this football team for all these points, as well as the other issue that's going to transpire is the humidity level and the index down there is going to be really important. As you saw last week, that Vic Fangio do a better job, or the defensive line coach rotating those defenders in there. You don't, A, want to see them get injured, and B, you don't want to see them get tired. So especially in the humidity down there, that's going to be something you really got to watch, because when you play down there, you got to have an assistant coach getting on top of you. You just tell them, listen, be in my ear. I'm trying to call plays. You need to tell me that it's time to rotate someone in, and trust in the coaching staff to help you through in getting these guys hydrated and playing up to par. So I really think there's an opportunity for the Chicago Bears to win if they run the football, throw downfield, and get Glennon some confidence. Hopefully he's, you know, the accuracy issues are going to be the key here, because this is the crossroad game for me, guys. We talked about Shane saying it's he's going to have a short leash. Felt like those seconds really mattered. As you know, game of inches and seconds, I call it. We're going to be saying that all season on 100 Proof. And I think Mike Glennon's got to wind up the clock and get ready to go this week, because his accuracy issues and timing issues need to calm down. And those receivers, I think they'll work the game plan into getting what it is they need to get out of those receivers. So hopefully you get to see Tanner Gentry, see less Josh Bellamy. I know they're going to see Josh Bellamy. I want to see how that plays out, but I think there is an opportunity for the Bears to win, though, Aldo.
Shane Marsaw, are you feeling the same way?
I'm not counting the Chicago Bears out of this game at all. I'm really not. I think the defense is going to, you know, give Jameis Winston some fits. I think Vic Fangio is going to unleash the outside linebackers a little bit more this game. The one thing that I will be focused on in this game, and this goes back to what I said previously about the lack of team speed. To me, the X factor for the Tampa Bay Bucs, it's not the running game. It's not Jameis Winston. It's DeSean Jackson. Jameis loves to throw deep, and you have an elite playmaker that's not just a deep threat. He's one of the most productive deep threats in the history of the NFL with all the 50-plus yard touchdown runs. I mean, when you talk about just top-end speed, I'm not sure there's anybody faster in the NFL than DeSean Jackson. And that's one worry that I have. If, you know, talk about Marcus Cooper or talk about Kyle Fuller or any cornerback for that matter, just matching up on a guy like that that can just, you know, not only take the top off the defense, that can just rip the top off and laugh at you on the way by. He's going to be my X factor in this game. And Phil brought up a great point with the heat index and the humidity. Is you see a lot of these guys, you know, they go down and get these cramps and stuff like that. And DeSean Jackson, just it's going to be hard enough to cover him anyway. And he's a player that thrives in the heat. His numbers do go down when the weather gets bad, and we're not really going to have to worry about that down in Tampa this weekend. So that's going to be somebody that I'm really watching. But I'm going to also be watching Jordan Howard to see how he is with his shoulder. They said, you know, he banged up his shoulder a little bit on his touchdown. And we all know, with Mike Glennon, we have to get that running game rolling, and I think that's going to be crucial, because we can't see the horizontal Chicago Bears offense. I think you got to see some seam routes to Zach Miller. I'm not even going to count. I think Deion Sims has got to, you know, I think they have to incorporate him more in this game. I think you even have to look for a guy like Adam Shaheen to step up. And even if you don't, Phil can attest to this, even if you don't connect on the deep ball, if you just throw it and you give them that threat, that's going to open up things for the running game. You don't have to connect on every one of these. Mm-hmm. But the Bears just were so limited in testing anything deep. You have a fast defense like Atlanta. They can bring everybody up in the box, and attacking horizontally really benefits them because they're so fast. And Tampa Bay is the same way. If we do get Kyle Long back, it's going to help out, you know, slowing down a guy like Gerald McCoy with that interior pressure where it's so vital to keep Mike Glennon clean. But I think it's going to be a lot of the same guys. I think it's going to come down to the fourth quarter, and I think it's going to come down to Mike Glennon having to make a play. We can't see the horizontal Chicago Bears. We're going to have to see some deep shots. If Marcus Wheaton is back, if Trey McBride makes his debut, I think we got to see the tight ends involved, and it's going to be interesting to see how Tampa Bay focuses on Tariq Cohen this week also.
And also, Aldo, to piggyback off Shane, mm-hmm. we haven't seen this Bears defense win a game. And this is the time, because as I said at BHL this week on the Bears Barroom Radio Network channels here and shows, that this quarterback, Jameis Winston, has a tendency to throw the most asinine balls when he has pressure around him. So if you could pressure this guy, he is going to put it in the defense's vicinity. And since they invested a lot of money in this defensive back, I thought Kyle Fuller really came to play. He was one of my options as Bear Up of the Week. If that secondary can go in there and get a turnover or two with this kind of football player, I believe he's got a lot of hype on him. A lot of people talk highly of him because he's turned his life around, and he comes across as a great young man on Hard Knocks, and not saying he isn't. But when it comes to the game of football, when he gets into rest, and you saw it on Hard Knocks, he throws some crazy balls in the air. We saw it last time we played them. I believe HJQ, Harold Jones Corte, had an interception in that game. So I believe if the Bears' defensive line gets after him, like they did Matt Ryan a little bit, and starts to frustrate him, I believe the Bears are going to have a bigger opportunity to win this game and create those short fields and throw the ball downfield, like Shane said.
Good stuff, guys. Good stuff. I am getting psyched for this game already. Let me play my outro music here.
Well, can we send a, because we're growing, Aldo, I wanted to send a shout out.
Let's do it.
To Momo the Bear at
I love Momo.
Shy Bear LR, all the way from Kuwait. Having a bunch of people, fans over there in the Kuwaiti desert there listening to the show, Aldo. I also want to shout out one other follower who just, I don't know, I just have an affinity to this guy. It's George T. Ray. George is always praising us, following Bears Bar Room and everything we do, and really loves the show. So shout out to him. And one last guy is Flap Green. At Flap Green, John Boy, chiming in, always supporting the show here.
Excellent. Shane, you got any shout outs?
Just myself. I love me to me.
Well, I shout out just to everyone who has been leaving us favorable reviews on Twitter. That is greatly appreciated. And if you can please take it one step further and leave those reviews on iTunes or Podbean, whatever service you use to subscribe to the show, it will greatly help our exposure. And yesterday, Phil and I mentioned on Bears Hour Live about the catastrophes down south in Texas and Florida and other states. If you can please offer up a donation to help with any of those relief efforts, please do so. And the easiest way to do it is to text Red Cross, one word, to 90999. They'll take $10 out of your wireless bill and donate it to the American Red Cross Disaster Relief. Gentlemen, it's always fun talking football. I learned so much listening to you guys, and I laugh so much. And that's what the show is all about, knowledge, the truth, and some good laughs. I'm going to leave you with two thoughts. Remember, if you drink, please don't drive, and always bear down.
Bear down. I'll bear down.
Who dis?
I know, we got to get the old man ready with these drops, Shane.
No shit. Yeah.
He's checking the weather forecast in Hawaii, probably.
I got the GPS now on my wife to make sure she's still in the convention center and not in a hotel bedroom somewhere. With some guy named Dick Strong. Fuck.
Tell your husband my name's Richard. Richard Strong.
Yeah, I texted her back and said, Shane sent me this football database, and there's no Richard Strong that's ever played for the Bears. And she writes back, oh, what a liar. He's so scary. Yeah, that he is.
Can you add the Tommy Boy drop right there?
I will.
Richard, were you watching Spanktravision?
All right, guys, I gotta head out of here. I got a dog who is looking at me, and he's ready to take a shit on the carpet if I don't take him for a walk.
Hey, real quick, before your dog shits, uh-huh. When I brought up Freeman, you know that play to Austin Hooper?
Yeah.
Freeman was on the field.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What I said that on VHL.
I missed it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, if...
I'll try to cut that out.
Well, no. It's not that so much. I'm just saying... Was he concussed at this point?
He probably was.
Yeah. Because he's actually the linebacker that released Hooper.
That's exactly what I said on BHL. I said,
yeah, I'm just watching the video right now, and I mean, he's...
Looks like it's his fault.
Yeah, Eddie Jackson is like a fucking foot and a half ahead of him. And fucking Freeman's just really doing nothing.
Yeah, he must Freeman's, be concussed.
Jackson's covering the slot receiver, I think. Is it 86? Can't really see. But
yeah, it's 86.
Yeah. And, yeah.
Or 16, one of the two.
Yeah, one of them. But so maybe our concussed middle linebacker, maybe... Yeah, that's something to think about.
Let's blame it on him.
Yeah.
Well,
all right, guys.
It was another great show, Aldo. That was a lot of fun, guys.
Yeah,
honestly.
Perfect. All right, boys. All right. See you later.
Take care.
All right, guys.
Yep, bye.
Talk tomorrow.